the morning in Hawaii, right?
It is. It's 9 a.m. I just got off 45 minutes on the bike, and I'll do my run and swim when we finish.
Wow. Okay, cool. We'll get the show on the road then. Welcome to the 103rd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. Hope this finds you well. Happy New Year. Happy, healthy, plant-strong New Year. Today I have a guest. It's Dr. Ruth Heydrich. Dr. Heydrich is a phenomenal woman. She has a PhD in nutrition and exercise physiology. But even more impressive, at 80, she swims, bikes, and runs every day. I met up with her, I guess, after a run this morning, and she was headed out for a bike and swim later. She is a breast cancer survivor and thriver. She was diagnosed in her late 40s, being an avid runner with breast cancer that was invasive into the lung. And she underwent partial mastectomy, but elected to forego any further treatments and adopted a whole food, plant-based, mainly raw diet, and is doing well, cancer-free. She followed the John McDougall program way back when she saw an ad in the newspaper looking for breast cancer patients wanting to try nutritional therapy as an alternative. So she's done extremely well. She practices what she preaches. And it's just an extraordinary person and a pleasure to speak with, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy the interview. Just catching up on what's going on, I'd just like to remind you that January 21st is our second annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference in Punta Gorda, Florida. We'll feature Dr. Clapper and of True North Health and Timmerie Hagenberger, who's a registered dietitian from Sacramento. We'll have a whole food plant-based breakfast feast and lunch feast, as well as cooking demonstrations, question and answer sessions. I'll also be giving a lecture. It's at the Twin Isles Country Club in Punta Gorda. You can get your tickets at eventbrite.com. Tickets need to be purchased in advance so that we have a head count for the chef. It's a great way to start the new year and transform your life into a whole food plant-based way of living. Even if you're a pro at being plant-based, Dr. Clapper and Timmerie are excellent speakers, and you'll enjoy the day as well as the scenery in Southwest Florida and the wonderful breakfast and lunch we have planned for you. So I hope to see you there. On a training aspect, I have the Miami Marathon the week after the conference. So training is going well. I'm still practicing my cadence training at a cadence of 172, so that's working. I run with a metronome along with Samantha and Gretchen. So I take my German Shepherds. They each get a loop in the morning. Like Dr. Ruth Heydrich, that I run just about every day. We vary the hard and easy efforts, and we also vary the distance a little bit, but try to get out every day, because if you have big dogs like I do, you know they do much better if they've had their exercise, and so do I, actually. So that's kind of how we start our day. I'm still doing the push-up challenge. We're on day 114. I'm doing 40 push-ups for the video, do a few more afterwards. I'm an avid believer in mobility and stretching and body weight exercises, so I try to incorporate those. I've been a little lax, like everybody else, over the holidays, but I still try to get 15 or 20 minutes of the stretching in every day, and I think it's made a big difference. I also am a huge believer in backyard gardening, and at this time of the year in Florida, it's perfect season. I have tomatillas on the vine, tomatoes on the vine, Swiss chard, some kale coming up. We have eggplant and cauliflower growing, as well as sweet potatoes. We have some beets in the ground, peppers, basil, oregano, cilantro. So it's a fun backyard garden to harvest from. We started our nutrition class this week. Class number one is one of my favorites. We talk about endothelial dysfunction and the mechanism that a plant-based diet has in reversing heart disease. I made a dish with the Swiss chard that I grew in the backyard that also contained quinoa and white beans that were Great Northern and Navy. There were fresh tomatoes and cumin, chili powder, garam masala, ginger, turmeric. So it was a nice spicy, a little bit of cayenne pepper, a nice array of spices. So people that are new to plant-based nutrition got to taste a little bit of everything the first day. My nutrition classes are 6 sessions, and I like to cook for people and give them and let them be able to taste food. And a lot of people haven't tasted a lot of greens, so I think Swiss chard was a good choice for the first class. Everybody liked it. Again, you know, to be introduced to various kinds of beans that are so good with sources of fiber and phytates and other nutrients. And of course, tomatoes with the lycopenes. So it's a great way to start. A lot of people don't know what to do with spices. So introducing people into the various spices and letting them become less fearful of experimenting on their own. So everybody enjoyed it, and it was great, great fun, and a good learning experience. So we'll look forward to class 2 next week. One thing I've seen too much of this week is strokes in patients that are in their 50s and 60s. I read echocardiograms for the hospital and see so many of these diagnoses looking for a reason for their strokes, and it's so unfortunate and need not happen. And it would just be so much better if we could educate more people on the benefits of a whole food plant-based diet before they had such a devastating event. When I read an echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound of the heart, it's looking for what we call a source of embolism or a source of the blood clot. And, you know, that's very unfortunate that there's even a question of a source of embolism. And typically what happens is people, they get enlarged hearts and thickened heart muscles and then develop arrhythmias and can get blood clots in the heart. They get calcification of the valves. And this is occurring in a younger and younger population. So, again, it's something completely avoidable if we could just get people to realize that nutrition plays such a vital role. The other thing that I posted on Facebook this week was an advertisement for a pancake and sausage dinner to raise money for the American Heart Association because next month's Heart Walk. And, you know, such an oxymoron that is, and such a sad thing to see in the hospital. I mean, what are people raising money for? We know what causes heart disease, cardiovascular disease. We don't need to raise money to try to find a cure for something that already happens. We need to raise awareness of what the problem is and to set examples. So it should be a heart-healthy breakfast that's, you know, demonstrated by the hospital or the cafeteria that people could pay for and make a donation. But it should be an education, not just a way for people to, you know, feel good about their bad habits by donating money while killing themselves at the same time. So we need to put more thought in these fundraisers. You know, the fundraisers are, you know, we give money to, you know, organizations that are looking for the cure or looking to treat, and we think we're helping people, but we're really not. You know, we're throwing money down, you know, a tunnel that we don't even know where it goes, and oftentimes it goes to, you know, more and more pharmaceutical agents. And what we need to do is support people and educate people on a whole food plant-based diet and you know, help them to be able to afford it or grow their own or learn how to cook their own food. You know, again, all this stuff can be purchased for minimal cost. And, you know, there are beans, rice, and vegetables, you know, so it's affordable for everybody. People just have to understand how to make it, how to make it taste good, and how healthy that it is. My mother helps me in my nutrition class. You know, she does a vital role. She helps me set up. She helps me break down. She serves. And, you know, if you've met my mom, she's a cute little lady that's very well put together. She's 83 years old, and she sets a fine example for people. You know, she rushes around the classroom serving people and has a smile on her face. She's very energetic. And so is Dr. Ruth Heydrich. You know, so to see 80-year-old people that are very energetic, that, you know, have their memories, love life, are well connected, it's an inspiration. And, you know, we should all strive to keep moving and running and eating well, well into our 80s, 90s, and 100s. And so enjoy the interview with Dr. Ruth, and I hope you take something, I hope you take motivation away to start running no matter what age you are. Welcome, Dr. Ruth Heydrich. Dr. Heydrich and I have had a conversation, could have been a year ago or so. She has a very, very interesting history. She's a professor, but she also has walked the walk of a plant-based lifestyle, having had disease herself, breast cancer, and chose to go the whole food plant-based way of life. And here at a very young age, at 81, she's kicked that, and she's kicking a lot of people behind her to the curb as she runs, bikes, and swims well into more and more years of being healthy. Welcome, Ruth.
Thank you, Doctor. It's been an amazing journey.
Now, just before we got started here, you told me that you're now taking and introducing and directing and being part of a course that's Introduction to Aging 101. So you're a college professor.
Yeah.
So tell me about Aging 101.
Well, what I've discovered is it's a whole new area that most people don't know much about. Sure, there's geriatrics, and I think, that when you're in it yourself, it's a whole different ball game. So it's what I'm calling a graduate-level, self-directed course, Introduction to Aging. And what I've discovered is that the whole food plant-based diet is wonderful for a lot of things. For example, I have very low blood pressure, running around 100 over 60, you know, plus or minus a few points. It changes all the time. I have low cholesterol, same thing, that changes, but it's generally around 130 to 150. And my blood sugar is always normal. And just to check on it, a couple of weeks ago, I had my A1C checked, and it was 5.4. So I've got the two major systems pretty well handled. The major systems are the cardiovascular circulatory system and the immune system. Now, this sounds familiar to you, of course, and most people, because the numbers one and two killers of us are heart disease, i.e. the cardiovascular circulatory system, and cancer, number two, the immune system. So if you take care of those two, what's left as we age? Well, that's what I'm discovering and wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, because you and I reconnected when I saw on Facebook, and I think somebody tagged you as well, that there was a woman that's 78 years old that completed a 100-mile race.
Yeah.
And, you know, it made me tired, and I'm getting ready to do my first 50K race, and I'm a little concerned, and she seemed to, you know, not be too concerned with that 100-miler. And I've known a couple other, you know, I started looking on the Ironman finishing sites, and I always, you know, different ultra sites, and starting to see a fair amount of women. You know, the men, there's always a little bit more men because they've been more athletic anyway, but I'm starting to see a lot of women in the 70 to 75 and even the 75 plus group doing some of these. So what do you feel about that?
Yeah, I was doing fantastic until 79, and when I turned 80, it was like the clock switched over to aging 101. You know, all of a sudden I noticed that I was really getting slow in my running. I felt like I was putting in the same amount of effort, but the clock doesn't lie, And I thought, what's going on here? And the other day, I run every day, and I run in my neighborhood. Living here in Hawaii, I'm very fortunate because 2 miles to the south, I'm at the beach, Ala Moana Beach Park, where I swim. And 1 mile to the north, I'm in the mountains. So I have this wonderful venue to run. And I've noticed people notice me. The other day, this one woman, as I was running down the street, she was approaching me, and she stopped, and she said, "How far do you walk every day?" Excuse me. And I said, you know, I'm shocked. I said, well, I run about an hour at least every day. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. And I'm walking away thinking, you know, maybe I've gotten so slow that she calls it walking. But anyway, I get the heart rate up. I sweat, so I know I'm doing good for my heart. And in terms of cancer, I know my immune system benefits from both the diet and the exercise, so I keep it up.
No.
And, oh, yeah, turning 80. What else happened? Let me see. I noticed I don't have a weight problem. Most of my life up until I went plant-based, I had to go to one diet or another because I kept gaining weight. Now it's just the opposite. I have to eat a lot to keep from losing weight. And everything's thinning. You know, my hair's thinning. My skin is thinning. And when I try to stretch, notice that my tendons and ligaments are thinning. And probably my bones are thinning. Not extremely. And I think this happens to everybody as we age, but we can slow it down. And maybe even reverse it. I'm going to start wearing a weighted vest on my back as soon as I find one. And I thought that might help keep my bones stronger. So, you know, aging is inevitable. There's no question about that. But we know how to take care of numbers 1 and 2, killers of all of us. Oh, by the way, you know that number 3 now is been found to be prescription drugs.
Yes.
You know, and mistakes made in the hospitals and misdiagnoses, and, you know, that's what's killing a lot of people. So number 3 risk factor is going to see doctors. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's what I tell people, you know. If they eat plant-based, they don't have to see me. And my, you know, some of my colleagues, you know, they're kind of worried. They're like, well, what happens if you cure everybody? And it's like, well, that would be a great, then I have more time to train. So,
there are different things that happen, accidents. I've always been in a hurry, you know. I guess the old typical stereotype type A personality, want to do more, do it sooner, do it more efficient. My career field with the military was in logistics. And so we're always looking for more efficient ways to do things, faster, better. And that was one reason why I loved running. You get the most benefit in the shortest amount of time. And so it's been a matter of trying to keep up doing what I want to do and not lose too much in the way of benefits.
I want to go back to this running every day. You know, I ask my patients, you know, what kind of exercise they do. And, you know, a lot of people tell me they're giving me, they think they're giving me the right answer when they say they, you know, walk on the treadmill or take a walk 3 times a week, sometimes maybe. And personally, you know, I'm a runner, triathlete as well, and I'm also an aging athlete. I'm behind you a little bit, but you know, I'm there. I'm in 54, and I notice that if I don't exercise, it is worse than if I do exercise. So even if I'm a little stiff, if I go out, you know, I kind of shake things out and things get better as I go, and I feel better for it afterwards. And taking that day off just because I think my body might need it is not necessarily the best thing for me. How do you feel about that?
Oh, hooray. I am glad to find a kindred believer. A day without, you remember the old saying, a day without orange juice is a day without sunshine was a model way back maybe in the 60s. I say a day without exercise is like a day without sunshine. I look forward to it. I enjoy it. Every once in a while, if I've had a bad night's sleep. Well, that's another thing with aging. Your sleep is not as deep and restful as it used to be. And when I turned 80, I started really having problems with sleep. But I look forward to the exercise, but those days when it's a little more challenging, say it's raining and gloomy and cold, I think, well, I'm just going to walk. And what happens, I get one block and there's a traffic light and it's red and I know it's going to turn green if I pick up my speed. So I'll run to the light, make the green light, and I can't stop running. You know, once I've started, that's all it takes. So that's one of my secrets. Just put the running shoes by the door, put them on and say, you're just going to walk a little bit. And by golly, it works every time for me, even when I'm injured. You know, I remember one time when I was covering triathlons for the magazine Triathlon Today, and I emailed Lou, the editor, and said, I've got a pulled hamstring. I can't run, so I'm not going to be able to cover that. And he said, you know what? You can just get there and cover it from the back of the pack. And so I did, even while injured, and I thought, gee, I feel good enough. I'm going to run. So there was no compulsion to be fast. So I chatted with all the back-of-the-packers and wrote an interesting article about other reasons for people competing. So as I say, I don't advise other people to run while injured. Don't get me wrong. It's just that you have to pay attention to your body, know what it can do and what it can't, know that it'll lie to you every once in a while, and if you overdo it, you're going to pay the price. But most of the time, we can do far more than we think we can.
Great. Yes. I'm like you. You know, if I've had a bad night on call and I'm tired or things have just caught up, and I'll say, you know, I'm just not going to run this morning.
Maybe I'll take a day off.
maybe I'll run later. And I am, yeah. You know, so half the time, by the time I get downstairs, I go ahead. And in those days that I, you know, that I don't, I am so disappointed in myself, and I feel like I just something is missing. And I just tell myself, you know, if you don't do it, you're going to be angry with yourself all day long. So you might as well just get out there and do a little bit. And, you know, I have two dogs that kind of wait for me in the morning, and they, you know, they don't have a calendar saying there's a day off. So, you know, I know that they both need their laps. So most mornings we go and do something, and some days more than others. But like you say, about every day we get out and do something.
Yeah. Once you get a certain level of fitness, it's easy to maintain. It becomes habitual. I exercise in the morning. Every once in a while, something will interfere with it. And like you, the rest of the day just isn't right, and I somehow manage to get something in later. I keep a log. I think that's important, a journal of everything, run, bike, swim, and what I call my daily mini triathlon. And days when things come up, I have this criterion. It has to be at least 20 minutes on the bike, and at least a 20-minute run, and at least 10 laps in the pool to qualify. And that's easy to do, morning, noon, night, whenever. So that's kind of my minimums. And I alternate hard, easy days. And so if I do, every once in a while, I'll get really ambitious and head towards the mountains. And they're steep, you know, and it's hard going up and down. And I'll run, say, 2 hours. And so the next day I get to do like a 20-minute run. And that's what I think is important in keeping the body, allowing it to recover. And that's one of the other amazing things I found when I went vegan was my recovery times. You know, I'd been a runner for 14 years and had run marathons at the time I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and thought I was the healthiest, fittest person in the world. So how could I possibly have cancer? Well, it's because I hadn't I'd been eating all these animal products, thinking that milk, dairy products, were good for me. And because my mother had osteoporosis, I wanted to make sure I had plenty of dairy. And, of course, the hormones in dairy promote breast cancer and a lot of other problems. But what I noticed, my next marathon, right after the breast cancer diagnosis, after the surgery, the excisional biopsy, where they think they're taking the whole thing out, that's what an excisional biopsy is supposed to do, no clear margins, it had already spread, actually, through my body. With all that stress, my next marathon, the Honolulu Marathon, 4 months later, I took almost 20 minutes off my last marathon time. And it was hard for me to believe that because of all the stress that I'd gone through. And then it dawned on me, it must recovery time in my training. I never stopped running through all this. In my book, A Race for Life, I talk about how how running in the hospital the morning of surgery, and the nurses came to get me and I was gone. Anyway, I kept on with my running, and then when I heard about the Ironman, I thought, I am going to do a triathlon, added swimming and biking. And even with those three exercises every day, I always felt fully recovered the next morning. And that's diet. That's fruits and vegetables and primarily, leafy greens. Mm-hmm. I've got a frog in my throat. I don't talk much in the morning. I get up at 5, and, I'm on email, I'm on the bike, and so when 9 o'clock comes here, I really haven't done a lot of talking, so my voice is kind of waking up slowly. That explains that. I don't have a cold or anything. It's just kind of a strange. Maybe that's aging too, your voice.
No, I think it's okay to have a little frog in your throat in the morning after things have been shut down. So do you do any kind of stretching, yoga, to maintain mobility?
Yes. One of the things, this goes back to back in 1994 or 1995, when Dr. McDougall, who supervised me through this cancer episode, said, you've got to write a book. You've got to tell women. I tell them, and I think it'd be more effective if you told them. So I had this manuscript, and I heard that Dr. Kenneth Cooper was coming to town to speak. Well, Cooper's book, Aerobics, was published in 1968, and when I read that book, that's what got me started running. I talked about efficiency and effectiveness, and so at this point, I'd been running all these years, and I owed him so much, and I thought, he's going to be so proud of me. And so I contacted him after his talk, and I said, I have this manuscript. I would love to get your endorsement of my book about how running has made such a difference in my life. And he said, I'd be glad to take a look at it. And he flew back to Dallas, Texas. This is from Honolulu. And he called me a week later. He said, I can hardly believe what I just read. I just am amazed that at your age, and of course I was then 49, how anybody can do what you did on this diet. He said, I want you to come to the Cooper Clinic here in Dallas, and I'm going to run every test in the book on you and see what's happening with your diet. He said, I don't see how you could possibly get enough protein and calcium. You know, we plant-based people hear that all the time. And as a matter of fact, Cooper still is not vegan or vegetarian or plant-based. That myth about needing animal protein to build muscle is so pervasive, and I get it in my emails all the time. How can I be sure I'm getting enough protein? I now say, how can you be sure you're not getting too much protein? Because we know what that does to our kidneys. You know, our poor glomeruli get clogged up with all these darn animal proteins. So anyway, Cooper was so amazed at my performance. In fact, what he had said is, you know, these are the old fitness records. I call them world fitness records because I have people all over the world come to the Cooper Clinic and get fit and measure their fitness level. So I'm going to put you on a treadmill and see how long you can go. And so I thought, oh boy, this is going to be fun. So, and it's the bulky protocols, which you as a cardiologist know very well what that is. You know, it starts out slow and level and just gradually increases the elevation and the speed. And so I'm on this treadmill all wired up, electrodes all over, blood pressure cuff. And at one point I hear him say, well, Ruth, you've just passed through the 30-year-old male fitness level. And I go, whoa, wow, doing great. And so he kind of monitored me as I went along, and he said, okay, you've got 30 seconds to set a new age group fitness record. 25 seconds, 20, 10, 5, 1, you did it! And I go, yay! So, and because Cooper is such a PR man, you know, his books have sold all over the world, and he's got, I don't know what, 20 books out now about running and fitness. And he had this whole cadre of journalists, all the newspapers, Dallas Daily Morning News, magazine editors, everything. And so as I'm running on the treadmill, the flash are popping. I know they're taking pictures of me, and the cameras are rolling. And so afterwards, he turns to these people and says, see what running can do as you age, it keeps you fit. And then he said, and she's going to come back next year and break the record she just set. And I go, oh boy, what a challenge. So that was my motivation, or one of my many motivations, to keep going. In fact, I talked to Dr. Cooper about a month ago, and just to see how he's doing. He doesn't run anymore. He says he just walks, and he thinks that's better as you age, better on your joints. You know, he's still not convinced that exercise and the increased circulation is good for your joints. It doesn't wear your knees out. It keeps them stronger.
You know, you've proven that. No, you know, no joint aches for you. No replaced parts that you have, correct?
Right. Yeah.
that's really good. Tell me a little bit, you know, I know when you first you went plant-based under Dr. McDougall's direction, you did a lot of raw food. Are you still doing a lot of raw now?
Oh yeah. I love it. You know, it tastes great. It's easy, it's simple. My cookbook, Chef is an acronym for cheap, healthy, easy, and fast, fat-free as well. And I don't, because I'm so active, I don't want to spend any more time in the kitchen than I have to. And so I figured out, gosh, you don't have to cook this. Kale, I much prefer raw. Tomatoes, bell peppers, I prefer them raw. Fruit, of course, we have lots of tropical fruit here. I have papayas, mangoes, guavas. You wouldn't even think about cooking those. Ginger, I put a little bit of ginger in everything I eat because I love it. I use turmeric in my supper. What else? Oats. I still love raw oats. And I use the Bob Mills, what do you call them? It's more less refined than Quaker oats, but I use both. And I don't cook it. I mix it in with my breakfast, my kale, mango, banana, ginger, and pour the dregs of my morning beverage, which is, I'm sipping on it now, it's a bag of green tea and a half of, a rounded teaspoon of 100% pure cocoa powder sweetened with stevia, which we all know is a plant, and it's the refined leaf of the plant. And so that's my morning drink, and I always leave about 2 inches in the bottom of my mug, and I pour that as kind of a, quote, dressing for my breakfast. And this is what I have after my workouts.
I forgot about your green tea and cocoa because I've done that on several occasions. Yeah, it's pretty tasty. I like it.
Oh, yeah. And look at the nutrients you're getting from the green tea. What is that? The G-O, I can never remember what the G-O-C-G, something like that. One of the main nutrients in green tea that's so healthy. Gallo something. Anyway, and the stevia, it gives you that chocolate taste that most people really enjoy, and it's healthy. Cocoa powder comes from a plant, so cocoa is vegan, and what happens is manufacturers sweeten it with cocoa butter and sugar, and that's what makes it unhealthy. So I have all the chocolate I want, and it's healthy.
What, you know, I ask all my patients, you know, what did you have for dinner last night? So, Dr. Heidrich, what did you have for dinner last night?
That brings up another point. I don't have a lot of variety because I love what I have so much that I don't need it. I don't get bored with it. I don't get tired. So, to answer your question, it's more kale or whatever leafy greens here at the farmer's markets. I get the fresh, all kinds of Chinese cabbages, bok choy, baby bok choy, wan bok, choy sum. There are so many different varieties. And, of course, these are cruciferous vegetables, so very healthy. So I have the variety of greens, and then tomato, and I love red bell peppers. These are all cut up. Broccoli, of course. And let me see, what else? Yams. Now, that's my concession to non-raw. I do have a yam every night now. And because I was losing weight, I had trouble maintaining my weight, I added a big yam. And that kind of rounds out the supper. And then for dessert, and salsa for dressing, sometimes mustard, and balsamic vinegar. Those are my dressings for all those veggies and this base, lots of leafy greens, lots and lots. My dinner bowl is about 10-inch diameter. Can you picture that?
I can. It looks like mine.
Yeah, good. I eat a lot. And I get to satisfy my appetite until I feel, I can't eat another bite. And as I say, that because it's so healthy and satisfying, and it satisfies the committee on the brain that says, okay, we've got all the nutrients that we need. Shut down her appetite down there. Tell her tummy and her tongue, we've had enough. And, that's after I have my dessert. And my dessert's always the same. I just never get tired of blueberries. Now, they don't grow here in Hawaii, so I'm forced to buy the frozen. But at Costco, I get these great big bags of organic frozen blueberries, and I always keep 3 bags in my freezer. So I have a cup of those over, more ginger, and I have 9 prunes. I did read a study, 5 or 6 years ago, this researcher found that there's something in prunes that keeps bones strong. He said it's not in dates or raisins or any other fruit, just in the prunes. And I thought, oh, I like prunes anyway. They keep my bowels moving faster. So the prunes, blueberries, a little bit of ginger, sprinkled with, oh, I have some more cocoa. Another rounded teaspoon of cocoa and stevia to sweeten it. And I'm salivating right now.
Yeah,
looking forward to that dessert. So that's the other thing. When you're eating the right foods, they're never boring, never tiresome. I always look forward to it. Now, that's not to say that I never eat out. I can almost say almost never, because there's no restaurant that can do as good a job of feeding me as I can at home. And I think that's where a lot of people get into trouble, going to restaurants, because they always cook with oils. I have not had a bottle of Wesson oil or a can of Crisco or any olive oil or coconut oil in my kitchen for 35 years. You do not need oils. They are, if you want to cook, use vinegar to saute, water to saute. Oils are the extreme example of totally refined food, pure fat, pure calories, no nutrients. You just don't need it.
Amen.
Good.
Yeah, so I was, you know, you're helping me transition in the next, you know, I do this nutrition course and, you know, people transitioning to whole food plant-based diet. We do 6 sessions. And a lot about what we talk about is the social aspect, because, you know, that's when people, you know, fall off, like the holidays, you know, we just went through them and I'm seeing people back in the office and it's like, oh, I had all kinds of trouble over the holidays. And, you know, but it almost seems like family is worse. And so, give me some suggestions as far as, you know, how do you handle the social situation? You know, when you go out and or when you're among people that aren't plant-based and, you know, you're choosing to eat, you know, tell me a little bit about how you handle those social situations.
Not very well, I have to admit. My family has been the most resistant. My marriage broke up because of it, and I don't know whether it was because of the way I presented it or because there was no way that I was going to be able to change his mindset. Plus, he had a bunch of medical problems, including ED, and I had kind of suggested that maybe changing his diet would help. He went to his doctor and asked him, and the doctor told him, oh, no, that has nothing to do with diet. So he came back to me and said, see, I told you. And it just became such an issue. Our refrigerator was divided kind of in half, picture a vertical line. His food, my food. His food was steak and lobster and butter, all the very things that I gave up, and my side was all fruits and vegetables and lots of leafy greens. And it just got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore, so I left. So my kids, they eat the way I raised them to eat because they were long gone from home when I made the change. I'm waiting for one of them to have a medical crisis. And I just hope that they come to me and say, Mom, I just was diagnosed with fill in the blank. What will your diet help me? You know, I'm waiting for that day in a way because I'm afraid nothing else is going to help. I got them to see Forks Over Knives, and even that didn't do it, which amazed me because it has done it for so many people, including a number of doctors here in Honolulu. I remember when I tried to line up speakers for our vegetarian society, I had read that Dr. John Houck was a vegan physician. And so I thought, perfect, internal medicine. I'm going to invite him to come speak to us. So I called and his number, the nurse answers, and I said, I'm Ruth Heydrich. I'm with the Vegetarian Society of Hawaii, and I wanted to invite Dr. Houck to speak. She said, well, he's with a patient. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. He comes on the line and says, this is Dr. Houck. And I said, Dr. Houck, I'm so honored. I'm amazed to get through to you. What a wonderful surprise. He said, hey, it is I who is honored. I said, what? He said, I saw you in Forks Over Knives and the rest of Dr. T. Colin Campbell, Dr. McDougall. He said, that did it for me. Now I tell all my patients to watch Forks Over Knives and change their diet. As far as getting him to speak, he said, oh, I'm way too busy. I said, oh, no, people need to hear your story. And he said, you know, my wife would kill me if I agreed to do this. And I said, oh. And he said, well, wait a minute. He said, give me 24 hours, and I'll let you know. So you can imagine I'm on pins and needles counting the hours, and on 23 hours and 30 minutes, the phone rings, and he says, my wife's going to kill me, but I'll do it. And that's, if you want to see his talk, and he says this, you know, that he owes this to me. It's one of my prized moments. Go to vsh.org and go to the speakers. It's been a year now. vsh.org videos and listen to Dr. John Houck, how he converted from a sad diet to now a plant-based whole food diet. For his prescription pad is fruits and vegetables. So I love that story.
Well, what about, friends, you know, your peers that you come across, the other triathletes, people that you may train with?
Most of them still, they're getting by. They're young and they're healthy. And as we know, they can get away with the sad diet for years before things catch up with them. There are so many paleo dieters, bone broth, all these latest fads. And I know when you're in your 20s and 30s that it just takes a while for you to figure out what's going on if you don't have a major problem with, say, cholesterol, high blood pressure, or sugars. And a few have converted. I remember a runner named Lou who really was not totally convinced, but he asked me a few questions. Now, this goes back to the 80s, 1980s, and Lou was young. He'd just gotten out of the Navy and decided he was going to stay here in Hawaii because he loved running. He loved all the races we had here and the climate. And I'd talk about the vegan diet to anybody who'd listen. He came up to me last year, and he says, remember when you were always talking to me about the vegan diet? And I said, yeah. He said, I did it. I changed, and I've been vegan now for a whole year. So sometimes, how long did that take? You know, quite a while. But now he's quite an advocate for, and he tells all the other runners, gosh, you got to change. And it's like one runner at a time, one triathlete at a time. I don't know when we're going to reach that tipping point where there are more vegan runner triathletes than there are none. Do you think we're close?
No, unfortunately,
no.
Because you know, when you cross the finish line, one, I think, you know, exercising at the volume to do a triathlon, you know, especially a half or a whole Ironman, you burn a tremendous amount of calories. So people take it as a license to eat, and you know, and then the post race, unfortunately, you know, most of the time there's, you know, it's all, you know, kind of junk food. You might get a banana, you know, or some grapes. Mm-hmm. But when we finished Ironman Louisville this year, you know, we had grapes and then went back to the hotel. And we, of course, we had our potatoes and we had our things, you know, there ready for us. But the funny part that I that I, when I finished the race and I'm standing actually by the grapes, nobody else is, and we're kind of just kind of chewing on, you know, grabbing grapes, and I look over and there was this young guy leaning against one of the poles on the tent, and he had this chicken burrito. And you can imagine, you know, 12, 13 hours after I've exercised, you know, trying to get down a chicken burrito. And this guy was just taking these, a big guy taking these baby bites and trying to chew it. And finally I looked at him and it was so comical because this guy thought he should be eating this, you know, this protein.
Yeah.
And I was like, so how's that going down for you? You know, he's like, it looks like it's kind of difficult. He said, not very good, you know? And I just laughed. It's like the grapes are really good, you know? But I think that it's coming around and there are more, you know, Clif, I love the Clif products, you know, that, you know, they're organic and plant-based, and, you know, there's more and more that are trying, but then there's this paleo side where they try to sneak bacon into to a power bar. So, you know, it is what it is. Do you have any age groupers in your age group that you train with, or you're all just all the young people? No.
Yeah. No, aging is also like a pyramid. You know, the base is the teens and 20-year-olds up to 30, and then it starts tapering off. Although there's been kind of the bulge in the 40s, I think you see a lot of races where there are lots of people in their 40s and even 50s, and then it starts narrowing again. I think by the time you get to 80, you're probably going to be the only one in your age group most of the time. And I've always said I'm going to outlive all the other competitors. And so far, except for that 100-miler person, I don't know how she does it, but...
Yeah, she seems to be going strong. There's a couple out there. There was a gentleman that was 100 years old that set the Velotron record this week. You know, and so there's more and more. And I think, you know, I think with the plant-based population, you're going to see more and more survive longer and prosper longer. You know, because a lot of these people just ate what they wanted, but they were just so active. But the likes of Scott Jurek and, you know, some of these ultra distance runners that are plant-based, I mean, they're thriving into their 40s.
Yeah.
So I think people will be able to maintain, more and more people will go longer and longer. So that's a good thing. I guess maybe it's a good thing that it's happening. It's not such a good thing for me in my age group. It's still crowded, but
yeah.
You know, it's like, you look up, it's like, well, maybe, you know, I kind of look ahead a little bit and say, a couple years I can beat that time, you know, and then I bring all these people with me. And it's like, darn, you know, they all my age group came with me. And it's like, you know, so, well, very
well,
cool.
Well, hang in there because it's going to start happening. They're going to be dropping off because, as I mentioned in the beginning, the circulatory system and the immune system both thrive best with this kind of a diet. And these are the numbers 1 and 2 killers. And even if you don't have a heart attack and keel over, you hear the sirens.
Yeah, I hear the sirens.
Probably another heart attack happening. So even if it doesn't lead to the heart attack and death, what happens is the circulatory system is getting clogged, and that leads to inefficiencies throughout the body with every single organ system. And, of course, the immune system, we think, is going to be less effective as we age. I don't know how to keep that as strong as it was when we were 20 years old. So there are concessions to aging, but we can slow down that. And people always bring up the matter of genetics, genes. And thank goodness for the studies on epigenetics. Epigenetics meaning how lifestyle affects the expression or non-expression of genes. Isn't that an exciting discovery?
Yes. And, you know, I think it's more and more of that has to get out that, you know, we can, by what we eat, we're going to either turn things on or turn things off.
Yep.
And support our own immune system. You know, a lot of the cancer drugs now are coming out, you know, as immune boosters. And it, you know, I'm excited, but I'm also, you know, yelling in the background. It's like there's a lot of different ways to build your immunity. So instead of having dishes of candy in the oncology waiting room, let's put some fruits and vegetables and maybe some green juices out there for people to get while they're getting their immunotherapy.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have planned here for this new year? We're just starting off. What's on the ticket?
Oh, boy. It's maintaining mostly. I found that, again, 80 being such a milestone for me. I always had visions of, I hadn't mentioned, I lift weights 3 times a week. I have my own universal gym on the lanai, you know, balcony. So it's almost like exercising, lifting weights outside, which I really enjoy. And I always think, well, maybe I can increase my weight a little bit and do more sets, more reps. And once I reached 80, I realized, you know, the game rules have changed. It is now just trying to maintain. As I mentioned before, getting slower. I'm also not as strong. I've had some loss of muscle mass. And there are elements of our hormonal system which cannot be denied. That's another thing with aging. We lose our hormone levels, the ones that testosterone, for example, that is mostly responsible for muscle development. So without taking what's the short term for PEDs, performance enhancing drugs,
right,
without taking any of those, we're going to be losing some muscle mass, not because we're doing less necessarily, but because we're lacking those hormones that build muscle. So my philosophy now is maintain. Do not, when I'm tempted to say, oh my God, I can't do another rep, you know, do it anyway. And I find it takes more effort. But it is a struggle just to maintain.
Well, I'm going to be like Dr. Cooper, and I'm going to check in with you again next year for for how you're progressing in your class, and hopefully you'll be in the next class of Aging 102, and we'll see how that's going. And you know, I certainly wish you well, and keep running, biking, and swimming, and setting example for others.
I hope so, because it is fun. I really enjoy the exercise. I enjoy the diet. And it's a matter of trying to convince other people, just try it. So that's my message to people who aren't already doing this, who haven't already discovered it like you. You as a cardiologist, my gosh, your message is, it ought to reverberate around the world. You know, here's a cardiologist saying, this is what we should be doing. So thank you for all you do.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I wish you best of luck. How can people follow you best, or how would people get in touch with you?
Well, let me see. I have my email. My website is RuthHeidrich.com. Mm-hmm. That's the best way, because my books are there. I have my Ask Dr. Ruth, mm-hmm, which brings up the other aspect. They confuse me with the other Dr. Ruth.
You get some good questions then.
Yeah. Funny questions. Oh, but it's a chance to maybe help somebody who has ED. You know, ED affects women as well, because whatever clogs the penis also clogs the clitoris. So we want to clean that up. So the best, any question, I take them all on my website. And you need to spell Heidrich right. That gets misspelled all the time. Ruth is easy, R-U-T-H. The last name, H-E-I-D-R-I-C-H, Heidrich.com. And I answer all my emails. Keeps me busy, but I love doing it.
Perfect. Well, I wish you well. Happy, healthy, plant-strong new year, and we'll be talking in the future.
Wonderful. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the interview with Dr. Ruth Heydrich. She's quite a lady. You can find her again on her website at Dr. Ruth Heydrich, and that's spelled RUTHHEIDRICH.com. She has written books that are wonderful. One is called Lifelong Running. The other one is Senior Fitness. Another one, A Race for Life. And The Chef Cookbook, which is a mainly raw cookbook. So check out her books on her website. You can also get them on Amazon.com. She has a question and answer site on her website, and she's very, very willing to speak with anyone, and she'll answer or comment on Facebook. So ask her questions and ask away, and you know, look to her for advice. She certainly walks the walk and talks the talk for many years. If you have a question for me, you can find me at jamiedulaney@gmail.com, jamiedulaney @gmail.com. We have two tickets available for the second annual Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. So if you email me and tell me your story, why you think you should get a free ticket, or two free tickets, actually we're going to have a drawing, and we'll put your name in the drawing for those two tickets. I'd like to see you at the conference. It's a great way to start your year out plant-based. It's going to be extremely motivating. You're going to get a good breakfast and lunch, so please consider coming to the event. If you're close by and you can come to one of my six-week classes, that would be great as well. If you'd just like to have a teleconference with me, I'm also available for that. You can go on the website and contact me through there to set up a teleconference confrontation for me to help you with your getting off of your medications for blood pressure, diabetes, hypertension, you know, we can talk about your functional capacity and your exercise, anything you would like. I believe that I can get just about anybody off of their medications if they're willing to work with me, and we can make your life better, happier, healthier, and more energetic. So until next time, move your body. Get out and huff and puff a little bit. Eat plant-based. Be a lighthouse for others. And keep smiling.